Yeah, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening today on this Tuesday morning. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll be joined by State Senate Majority Leader, or I guess he will soon be, by then, Pro Tem, Greg Reed. We also got Chairwoman of the Mobile County Republican Party, just recently announced, Tricia Watley. And as we do every Wednesday, my friend Sean Ross joins us from Yellowhammer News. So please make sure you tune in for that. But joining us now, it is my pleasure to introduce us State Senator Tim Melson from the Shoals area up in North Alabama. Senator Melson, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, Jeff. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing well, surviving. I guess today's the big day, getting back into town, back into Montgomery. Talk about that, if you will. What are your expectations? You're in the medical profession, for our listeners that don't know, but with COVID looming, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think we'll just have to continue like we've been doing and use your standard precautions and, you know, common sense. And I hate that we're not going to have the access to the public as easy as we have in the previous years. But we'll manage and things will go on.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, try it out for 2 weeks, and then you'll have that third week to kind of reevaluate and then move along from there.
That currently is the plan, you know. Just depends on what priority bills get hung up and don't get through. It takes a little more time. But, yeah, that's the plan. Go 2 weeks, take a break, reevaluate, and then come back.
And it sounds to me like you're going to look at, get kind of the hot burning priorities out of the way best you can, and the liability protection, the taxation stuff, and economic incentives, and then try, I guess, in some way to tackle budgets, then see where you go from there, and then that I guess that's the next big question: where from there.
Well, I think it just depends on the number of cases. I think at least 14, 15 senators have already had it. A lot of them have already gotten vaccines. I just finished having COVID myself. I'm good to go. But, I think it'll depend on the both the staff and the body as far as staying healthy. And it's not just while you're in session in the building. We're going to have to be using precautions and common sense outside the building judiciously. So I think we'll be okay, and maybe it'll go a lot smoother than last year because we have a lot more knowledge about the disease, or at least we think we do.
Well, let's talk about once we get past that, and when talking to your colleagues, they're very optimistic that, you know, even if it does take a little time to get things going, some of these outstanding big ticket things left over from 2020, including your medical marijuana bill, could get a hearing. The legislative session is what it is. You have to work it within certain parameters. But when you talk about things that need to be tackled, it's gambling and maybe a few other things, prisons, et cetera. But the topic of medicinal marijuana comes up.
Yeah, that's actually, we got a committee hearing Wednesday on that bill, and we'll be voting that day to get it out of committee, hopefully.
And
so it's already scheduled, pre-filed, and ready to go.
So let's talk about that. It came you got it through the Senate a couple of years ago. It kind of went away. The House just kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, we passed it out last year, and this is the exact same version that came out of the body last year. So there's no surprises. No, I got you. No hidden agenda. It's the same exact version that passed the Senate by a vote of 2-1 last year. So it shouldn't be controversial in the Senate any more than last year.
Well, I think maybe it seems, even though some time has passed since then, that maybe the public and maybe the body itself, the Alabama legislature, seems to be more receptive to the idea that this is something for good and not just a gateway to recreational weed or something.
No, well, it's not, Jeff. I have no desire to go down that recreational path. It may happen in Alabama, but it's not something I'm pushing or trying to get through the crack. It's just the you know, the people that I've seen that their family member needs it or they need it. You know, it's like Coach Butts with the partial quad that, or incomplete quad, has severe muscle spasms, or it's, you know, it's little Harley Kane with the autism problems and its seizure prevention in other children. It's for the, you know, for the individual who's had the chemotherapy and nothing else works, and they're losing weight with no appetite. So, you know, there's, I have no agenda. I'm not doing this for any big business. I'm doing it for the patients. And, you know, we rushed through a drug vaccines for COVID-19 because the mass numbers and the people that do it, and you've seen the statistics, what, 99.997% survival rate with no treatment. And we're rushing things through. And here's something that's been around for thousands of years and shown, I think the first article on treatment of seizures was in like 1460, you know. So there's a long history. There's a lot of studies. People just need to open their eyes, quit stereotyping it, and just, you know, just give it a chance.
Well, let's get into the, I guess, kind of the nuts and bolts of the mechanism, mechanisms of it. Now, it's taken, you know, some, there's been some critics out there questioning new government bureaucracies and what powers that bureaucracy may have. Just for the sake of our listeners, talk about, you know, really exactly what all that is and how it functions.
Sure. Well, and, you know, you've had guest members talk about those things. And I think the some of the things that stood out to him were creates a new division of government. Well, it does, but it's self-sustaining with the revenue that it generates. It's not like we're creating another money pit in a division of government. It'll be self-sustaining, or at least that's what the numbers show. And you have to do that to make sure that it's regulated, it's and treated as the object that it is, something that needs to be grown in a sterile environment or a protected environment, so that both the quality and quantity of the concentrates are known. There's no impurities. You know, they call it medical not because they want to say it treats the disease. Medical implies that it's pure in substance, and there's no foreign bodies. There's no impurities. You know, there's no pesticides, no heavy metals, and then it's, you know, the patient gets what they're knowing. That's why it's called medical. You know, and then they talk about the forming that born that new Department of Government. That same individual started the branch of information technology when he was in office. Sometimes you just have to do a new branch of government to make sure, because there's not a good one for it to currently fall under. And then I know one thing that's come up is the warrantless search and seizures. Well, can you imagine if we did not come in unannounced in the health department what a restaurant would be like? They would clean up the days you know they're coming. They would make sure that the water temperature was correct in the dishwasher, that there was no dead rats or roaches in the back of the building. Only when the inspector comes in, you got to come in unannounced. It keeps people honest and it keeps things straight. Same thing with the FDA. You know, I do research for drug companies for a living. They got a right to come in anytime to make sure that I have my books in order and the drug accountability laws correct. And that's just when I go into that business, I know that going in. If you don't like the fact that the government can come in and search your business, don't go into that industry. I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. OSHA comes in unannounced currently all the time to a lot of manufacturers to make sure that they're meeting safety requirements, you know. So I understand the argument. I just think the argument's awful weak myself.
Well, and I believe we were talking about it, and I asked you, you know, in the past, is it kind of like when a health inspector shows up at a restaurant and, you know, conducts those safety checks? Because it's not like the, here's the marijuana, medical marijuana Gestapo showing up at your door, but it's more of, you know, we're going to come in and check things because it's a privilege to dispense medical marijuana. It's not a right. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just like, I know I can touch people's nerves in Alabama. It's just like the guy that sells guns, you know. I mean, by his right to sell those guns as a dealer, you know, they can come in and check his logs and his accountability to make sure everything's correct and his books are in order. You know, you just have those rules to keep people honest. It's a shame we have to have them, but that's just the way it is. And I want to make sure the product that's provided for the patients is grown, processed, and pure, and they know what they're getting.
Right. But that seems like that process is more than just at the retail or whatever you call it a level. But you're going to have to go back much further than that, and there's probably some aspects to how, where, et cetera, the product is made, grown, packaged, or whatever.
Sure. Oh, sure. I mean, it will have to be known. It'll be just like a, you know, you get a current drug, you'll see a lot number on it, and you know the date it was produced, where it was produced. So you can go back and trace any potential contamination. Well, same thing here. You know, you want to be able to go back to a farm, see what's going on. You want to be able to go to the processor, see what went on there, and make sure that everything's done where the final product is, again, pure medical grade cannabis. So, you know, it's just the way the process needs to work for patient safety.
And the reception from the medical community, I know you had the best and brightest minds at Alabama looking at it, particularly UAB, but what has been the reaction? What are you hearing from the medical professionals?
Well, I think it's surprisingly, from what people were expecting, it's well-received. I mean, you're always going to have some that say, you know, no, you can't do it. It's just wrong. It's for whatever reason. The schedule of the drug or things like that, but in general it's been extremely well received, and people that I've talked to, for the most part, not all of them, and you know some of the ones I'm talking about, think it's another just you know, tool in the toolbox for a physician to go. Most people know that it won't be the first line of choice to treat things with, but it'll be one down the road that you will go to if needed and everything else has failed.
Well, are you optimistic this time around?
Well, I guess I'm always optimistic, you know, right till I get kicked in the shin. So it's got a great chance to pass in the Senate. I think we'll get it through the Senate. The House, it's another COVID-19 year. There's a good chance that the majority of individuals would vote for it in the House, I believe. But you got to pass the BIR until the budgets are passed, and that takes what is it, 3/5, 2/3? I'm not sure. I should know, and I apologize, I don't.
I think it's 3/5. Yeah,
I think it is 3/5. Until the budget's passed, and then of course everything's fair game. But you know, it's a broad range of individuals. I respect the people who can't vote for this. I understand it. You know, most of them haven't had that family member yet that has needed something different. Most of them have their old beliefs, or their, you know, the law enforcement, or the somebody breathing down their back. It's kind of unique. I've gotten several law enforcement people who've sent me letters, emails, texts saying they support it. They just can't openly support it. You know, they have special need children or situations that would, they think it at least would be nice to be able to try it. But, you know, obviously it's not available. So, but I think we'll be okay, Jeff. It's just, we'll get it out there. We'll work it hard. We'll see what happens and let the process play out.
Well, we're keeping our eye on it for sure. I know a lot of people in our listening audience really, this is a big, big issue for them and would like to see some movement on it. Real quick, while I got you here, just a couple more minutes before I have to let you go. Up in your neck of the woods, Florence, Lauderdale County, I guess Limestone County as well. Talk about the COVID-19 situation there. Everything, do you feel like we're making progress, vaccinations, et cetera?
Well, we are. You know, it's a slow process. I got a brother that's a retired orthopedist. He's been working at the health department, giving out shots, and it's just slow process, you know. I mean, you got limited supply, and evidently there was a few hiccups here and there at the beginning as far as being able to keep up with it. But they're trying. It's uncharted water for the state. It's uncharted for the health department. But they're living and they're learning, and they're getting it out as soon as they can. And you know, it's just a learning process. And hopefully, the next time we have something like this, we'll be hopefully able to handle it a little bit smoother. But you know, don't forget, Scott Harris, our health department, tried to get a vaccine registry a year or two ago, and everybody thought it was a ploy to mandate vaccines instead of just have a registry so we'll know who took what. I personally think the intentions were good and pure. That would have sped things up. We'd already had a system up where we could plug people in, know who's got them, where they're not getting them in a timely manner. And but that fell through the crack. And but that would have been interesting to see if that would have helped us in this situation. But you know, I hate to say this, Jeff, but it's uncharted water. You know, people are getting blamed and for things that's out of their control, and unfortunately, loved ones are getting lost. But main thing is just we got to learn and move forward, and you know, keep our trust above, and hopefully things are going to get better soon, and we'll slowly get back to normal.
It just sounds like in this instance, patience is a virtue.
It is, yeah.
All right,
it is.
Well, Senator, we got to leave it there, but thank you so much for making time for us, and best of luck to you in Montgomery these couple of weeks. You know, in case it's a little hazardous there at the State House.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and again, congratulations on being a new daddy. I hope everything's going well with your baby, and Mama's doing well.
So far, so good. I want to do this again real soon. State Senator Tim Melson from Florence, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
She was sure real quick to up and apologize when she heard about my newfound luck on that air.